Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And it's that time of year again. I know you've been waiting all year, not just for the holiday, but for this episode, the annual Christmas episode. And we always have Mr. Christmas himself as our guest for the annual Christmas episode. Dr. Ronnie Martin is with us. How are you, brother?
Yes. Well, it's besides Christmas, it's obviously the best day of the year.
It is.
Christmas episode.
I always have this image of somebody on Christmas Day. I don't know why I have this image, but maybe it's because it resonates with me. Getting outside of the hum, you know, the hubbub of the family Christmas, and maybe the dishes need to be washed, but you're not quite ready to do that, and all the presents have been unwrapped, and there's a loudness, and maybe people are gonna go take naps, and someone just wants to step outside onto their porch or their deck or their solarium, as you will, and put in their AirPods and play the For the Church annual Christmas episode as a little treat, as like a little bonbon for the ears. And there's Dr. Ronnie Martin, Mr. Christmas.
Man, that's an optimistic take on our pod, I think. And I don't even know what a solarium is. So that's...
Well, it's like a sun... I think it's a fancy word for a sunroom.
Sunroom, okay.
Do people have sunrooms anymore?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, it's just like a windowed-in porch or a windowed-in...
Yeah,
in,
oh, yeah. Something the solarium.
Like the solarium, man. Yeah. So if you're listening in your solarium today... You may want to, if you've got extra time, to go back and listen to previous Christmas episodes. We've had Ronnie with us for the last several years as our special guest, and we've talked about Christmas movies, we've talked about Christmas music, we've talked about Christmas memories, we've talked about our ideal Christmas, we've talked about all kinds of Christmas things. Today, we're going to talk about the wonders of Christmas, the paradox. How do you say the plural of paradox? Paradoxes?
Paradoxical? I don't know. You know, we don't have PhDs, so we're not at that level.
I was about to say we are a paradox ourselves, but if we just have the demons, we don't have the PhDs, so I guess we're not real doctors.
Disappointingly so, yes.
So the ironies maybe of Christmas. I'll start with this. The biggest one for me is how every year, because I love Christmas, probably not as much as you do, but pretty close. I love Christmas. I love this season. I look forward to it all year. I have this anticipation. I have this longing. There's something that I'm expecting Christmas to deliver the whole season, not just the day, but this season. And it goes by, and it doesn't quite do what I thought it would do. I don't have the warmth in my heart or something. It feels thinner somehow every year. What's the deal? Does that resonate with you? Like, what's the deal with that? Or is every Christmas for you just bathing in wonder?
No, I couldn't resonate with that more. I mean, especially maybe it's getting older, and I think we're trying to capture just that, like that feeling and that longing, that lightness. I think it's joy. I think it's like a pocket of joy or something. It's almost indescribable, but it can come over you at any moment, right? You'll be in a place, and it has maybe it's during the Christmas season, but in some ways it's like, what does this have to do with Christmas? And maybe a memory or just a conversation or just something you're doing, and that sort of that Christmas feeling will sort of wash over you. And I'm always fascinated by that, because it's like that connection with, I think, the wonder.
Yeah.
But there's no, you can't manufacture it. You can't manipulate it. It sort of just happens when it happens, you know?
Yeah, you know, the best illustration, maybe not the best, but an apt illustration that I can think of, and maybe this will click with somebody, of how it feels sometimes, is like when you go to Disney World, and at least for me, and there's like, it's so awesome to be at Disney World, and you're overcome by like the artifice, like how they've created this whole world that's immersive. And especially for me, it starts on Main Street. You walk right onto Main Street and you feel like you're in you know, I don't know, you're bathing in nostalgia. For me, it's even for a time that I didn't even live in. I have a nostalgia for an era that I you know, didn't go through, but it stirs something in me. And then you walk by and someone opens a door or an area and you see behind the artifice and you see all of the, like,
the stacked boxes.
Like the warehousey or the industrial stuff or all the wires and cables, and it takes you right out of it. That's how Christmas feels to me. It's like, I want the main street, but what happens is the curtain gets pulled back and I'm seeing all the cables and wires, and it just ruins the mystique.
I think as we get older, I think we just have more distractions, and I think just the, you know, sort of the complexities of life and, you know, the busyness of life. I think it almost like it bears down on us a little more heavy with each passing year in some ways.
Yeah.
And so I think it was just easier for that to be captured in us when we were younger. And now, because, you know, Christmas was something that was prepared for us or given to us by others when we were young.
Yes.
And now we're the ones that are more responsible for that. And so I think it positions us differently as we get older. And it's just so much more difficult to kind of step into that Main Street experience that you're describing, I think.
You man, that was such a great insight. That landed on me. It was given to us. It was orchestrated by others and delivered to us. And the older we get, a couple weeks ago, I was reminded of this idea, quote, a passage from J.B. Phillips's book, Your God Is Too Small, where he says something about, as we get older, I think, you know, to your point, as we get older, the world gets bigger because we're more aware, we have more knowledge, of the world, of how things work, technology, the expansiveness of our memories, etc. We get bigger, the world gets bigger, but our vision of God stays the same or doesn't grow along with it. And we lose our sense of wonder of him because he is not in our minds or in our hearts expanded to scale with everything else around us. And I wonder if that is a piece of this getting older as well. For me, what I'm looking for is really things that I felt when I was a kid.
Yes.
And I didn't see all the cables and wires. Today, you and I are having to, you know, orchestrate the cables and wires, and that's why maybe we lose some of that wonder.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. That's a great quote. And I think, you know, I've noticed through the years that, you know, I think that for the most part, or a large part, I've had sort of I depend on a more secularized view of the holidays to sort of provide that sense of warmth and comfort. And I think in the last, I don't know, probably decade, that struck me years ago. And so I think even coming into the season, you know, that tendency, you described it so well, that tendency to want to step into that Main Street, you know, kind of experience, that euphoria, that in a lot of ways you have to try to create and manufacture, and to step back and allow for, I think, sort of the quiet wonder of the incarnation, for, you know, allowing that to be sort of what produces that sense of joy and longing that you're really seeking after, that you at least intellectually know is the one thing that's going to be lasting beyond the season. And I think I've become much more cognizant and aware that I really have to, in some ways, I really have to press into that much more than I think growing up I was even instructed or taught or encouraged to do. Christmas was always just about, you know, all the Christmassy things, you know, that we love and I think are okay. But it was definitely, those were the things that were emphasized to the point to where the other things, the deeper, richer Christmas was more on the shelf, and we pulled it off the shelf as we needed to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I'm trying to reverse that now.
Well, I mean, speaking of reversal, something you just said also triggered, I think the irony for us should be at Christmas that it's not the artifice of wonder and the cables and wires are in the background. But the wonder of the incarnation, for instance, the cables and wires are the foreground. You have this baby, right, crying, sleeping, pooping baby. But that baby, like the as Paul says in Colossians 2, the whole fullness of deity dwells in him bodily. The wonder is in the background. It's you're walking into a world that feels industrial and or, you know, like a yeah. barn. You're walking into a barn, but you pull back the door and there's heaven is actually on the other side. It's the other way around where the artifice is. It's not really an artifice, but what we see is the ordinary and the simple and the mundane. And when you pull back the curtain, you see the glory of heaven. The glory of Christ is back there. Christmas often feels the other way around, where they forefront the spectacle, and when you really peel it back, it's pretty ordinary. And the message of the gospel is the exact opposite. So, how do you cultivate? What are some ways that you try to not capture a feeling or a warm fuzzy, but situate yourself in wonder at times like this? Where is it? I mean, you kind of mentioned like looking at the glory of the incarnation, but what are some ways that you reflect on what we ought to be reflecting on for Christmas?
You know, it's funny you ask that, because I think it's more about having a mindfulness about it and not letting your mind sort of drift away from that so quickly and so easily. I know, like, conversations with my wife Melissa, we, you know, as we're talking about all the Christmas things and the company and the presents and the preparation and, you know, all the things we love, all those things. And then I think it's just, even in our conversation, I think there's been shifts over the years where we try to talk about things that we feel like a profound sense of gratitude for. I think gratitude has been the key for us, to where we reflect back on the year now a lot more than we used to at this time of the year. And we talk about the things that the Lord has done, the ways he's provided. And then we really try to connect that with Christmas in some really more profound and deep ways. I think that's a starting point for us. And that's something we've gotten more habitual about, which is just, gosh, let's really purpose ourselves to enter into a place of gratitude as it's connected to Christmas. And let's make sure that we talk more about that and reflect more on that than we have in the past. But I got to tell you though, it's like, you have to be intentional about that, because this time of the year, it also can produce like the opposite feelings, right? Because, you know, especially if you have sort of an idealized version of what this should be, and then it inevitably doesn't live up to that, like you pointed out earlier. Yeah. So I think just saying, hey, what are these things in our lives right now, as we look back even over the past year, that we can really thank the Lord for, we can have gratitude. And, you know, as we're engaging in gift giving and gift receiving and all the stuff that sort of threatens to, I would say, clap, like, in other words, we introduce the wires. We're always the ones that are pulling out the wires, pulling out the owner's manuals, hooking everything up. And it's like, well, hold on. You know, it's kind of like that C.S. Lewis quote, which I'm going to just destroy right now, which is, you know, okay. I forget what it was from, right? One day in our world, in a stable, a baby in a manger contained the whole universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, it was the simplicity and the quiet, you know, beauty of that. I think you have to just try to get back to that to the best of your ability, because everything around you is saying, don't do that. You know, Christmas should be bombastic. Christmas should be it should be exaggerated.
Yeah.
It should be these exaggerated sort of movements to create these moments in your life. So I think gratitude has been a big one for us, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I appreciate as an adult the Advent season, because, you know, when I was growing up, I think a couple of years when I was a kid, we did like the, you know, Advent wreath sort of thing. But the churches we were in and our family didn't really have a practice of, you know, you know, observing Advent. And so I came as an adult kind of to the idea. And what I appreciate about it is just the slowing down, because so often I'm so keen to get to Christmas, you know, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then it just goes by like that, and it's over. I'm like, wait, what just happened? You know, and so being able to kind of slow down, and then when you slow down, you have the capacity to see things and notice things and to observe the wonder. There was a week or so ago, maybe it was further back than that, I'm not sure, but you posted, I think on Instagram, y'all were traveling, and I think you were in O'Hare, I think, because we were in the same airport like a week later, but you took a photo because they had Christmas decorations up. I mean, it's O'Hare, so it's like, you know, it's busy, it's crowded, it's not a place of beauty, really. And it's a place where you can feel very pressed in on and anxious and stressed. And they had these, I don't know what they were, globes of Christmas lights or something kind of strung through one of those hallways, the window hallways. And you had taken a photo of it. And I don't even remember what your caption was, but you noticed, right? You looked up and you noticed in the midst of all of that, something beautiful or at least just something pretty that gave you some Christmassy vibes in the midst of a hectic travel day. And it did the same because of that. The week later when we were there, I noticed it because you had, you know, nudged me to notice it.
That's nice.
And it was helpful to me because they did have every few hundred feet there was a Christmas tree or something. But it was a very stressful travel day for us.
That's right.
We weren't sure where we were going to get home, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I looked up in that hallway and saw your Christmas lights hanging from the ceiling there. And I thought, well, man, that's pretty. And it just gave my heart and that's a silly illustration, but I think it's a way of, man, you know, especially, you know, if you're working up until the week of Christmas and things just don't feel very different for you. You don't have a lot of time. Yeah. Take some time to just step outside, to sit down, look at the sky, you know, look for some trees, go for a walk when you get home. I mean, something to give you a sense of capacity for bigness and for glory and for beauty that can help you just not feel like you're subject to the holiday.
Yeah. Know? No, that's so good. Yeah. Gosh, it was, you know, this, my wife will tell you that one of the ridiculous things I do around the holidays, I have this line where I always tell her many times at the end of a day where I look at her and I go, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
And she's like, how are we missing it? I'm like, I don't know, but the day just went by so quickly. And I felt like we just went from one thing to the next. And I feel like we had all these opportunities to sort of stop and behold. And we just didn't do that enough. And let's make sure that we do that tomorrow. I mean, we're busy and we have all these things, but we should pause and we should notice some things. We should consider, as Scripture tells us to do.
Yeah.
And it can be anything. And it was just like walking down, you know, horrible O'Hare Airport, you know, at that moment where everything is so crowded and we're afraid we're going to miss our flight. And yet we look up and there is the glory of Christmas right in front of us.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a great metaphor, right? But we have to stop and say, hold on, we can take a minute. We can take 2 minutes. We can take an hour. Like, we need to position ourselves and you know, I think we need to create that's when creating the opportunities is the Lord gives us the ability to do that, right? Which is a step back and create a moment that's going to create a fullness and a more an enriching experience. But we have to do it. We just don't take the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And the promise, I think, is, you know, we're not chasing warm fuzzies. It's great when they come. We're not chasing sentimentality. In some ways, I think as we get older, Christmas should begin to feel thinner or less fulfilling because the real fulfillment is still to come. And that's what we're really aching for and longing for. Is the new heavens and the new earth, and to finally see our Lord standing upon the earth, right? Our eyes will behold him. In our flesh, we will see God, right? Those biblical promises, that's really what we're yearning for. And as you get older, that is, I think you realize nothing will satisfy like that satisfies. When you're a kid, you can make do with some of the lesser satisfactions that point, you know, to it. Not in an idolatrous way, but I just think, yeah, when you're younger, there's things that can satisfy you a little, you know, better than as you get older, you realize really, oh man, sanctification means that I know more and more in my body that only seeing Jesus is gonna do for me what I'm thinking Christmas should be doing for me, right? Only Jesus can do this.
Well, I think it's a great point. I think it's, yeah, there's a sense where spiritual maturity means that these things should be, they should be fading for us in a really good way. They should be fading, and then they're not leaving a hole, but the things that are, you know, the things of Christ, the things that are eternal are filling in that hole as those other things are, again, they have a place, and I think they have a good place, but I think they took up way too much real estate for us, you know, probably earlier in life when we didn't have the spiritual maturity to understand that this can be so much bigger than we have the capacity for it to be right now. And yeah, I would, that's a really great perspective. And you know, it's almost like, gosh, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but you know, you even think about the sense that, you know, if I was still getting the same gifts, you know, if I wasn't, nostalgia aside, but if I was still getting the same gifts that I was getting at 5 years old, I mean, it would have so little meaning for me, other than just the nostalgia of getting an Evel Knievel wind up, you know, motorcycle, which I got when I was 7 years old, which again, on the level of nostalgia, that would be like, oh, that's great. But then a minute later, it really wouldn't do me any good. It wouldn't really like add anything to my life that would carry me into, you know, into the next week. And so just like the gifts that we are given carry much more meaning. I think the way our hearts receive Christmas, I think that has to mature as well. And I think it does. But I think that we wrestle with it. You and I are describing a tension and a wrestle, because those things, those early days of Christmas for us, I mean, they formed us in some ways. And then now, you know, we have to be reformed, you know, for a richer, deeper, truer Christmas, the true and better Christmas, right?
yeah. So we have to be reformed, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. Man, that sounded like a setup, didn't it?
You can't be Arminian and have a good Christmas.
Do we have a book project ahead of us, Reformed Christmas?
That'd be good. Know. Well, that's a good serious conversation that we just had. I want to take it a little lighter to end our time together. Seen a good Christmas, like Hallmark Christmas movie lately? I was complaining about one on Facebook, and a mutual friend of ours said that you had recommended one, so you had a good recommendation. What's a good Hallmark Christmas movie?
I mean, it ended up being a really bad recommendation, is what.
Okay.
So I was on Instagram, and I don't know, somebody I don't follow, something popped up, and it was this older couple who you could tell watched Hallmark movies but were very critical of Hallmark movies.
Okay.
And this one guy made a pitch for a new Hallmark movie that just dropped like a week ago. And he goes, but this one, finally, there's a plot.
Oh.
There's something I could really like kind of sink my teeth into. And I just enjoyed it so much. And it was this movie called We Met in December.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. I mean, again, I don't know this couple from Adam. But I'm like, all right, that's a glowing recommendation. And they looked like people that were critical enough to where it's like, all right, let me take that as a review.
Yeah.
As you know, as a 90% Rotten Tomatoes review, you know.
Yeah.
And so we popped it on. I watched it and I thought, man, that serves me right. Listening to reviews from people I don't know, because I would say that it just fell in line with most of the Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
That I've watched through the years. But there's a recommendation for you. I mean, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. We Met in December. It was.
There's a glowing recommendation. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, I think with Hallmark movies, some of them are so bad.
Man, we just watched
one. But then some of them you go, well, that kept me going. Okay. Yeah. I mean, again, it's not going to win an Academy Award. We're not going to see this pop up at the Golden Globes in January. But like it was okay. And I think this one was just okay, which is almost great.
you have to know what they are going in. So
yeah,
I mean, 2 years ago, I'd not seen really, you know, any, and like 2 years ago, I thought, let's watch some and make fun of them. And that's what we did. We watched for, you know, a day and a half, Becky and I, these Hallmark Christmas movies, and we kind of Mystery, you know, Science Theater 3000. I just like made fun of it the whole way through. So it was kind of not hate watching, but sarcastic watching. And it was fun. It was fun.
Close to that.
But more lately, I've gotten to where like I actually enjoy or look forward to. We don't watch a ton of them, but when it's almost like a hot chocolate. It's just like, it's just a little trifle. It's not, you know.
I mean, hey, we love Christmas cookies.
Something to out with.
Yeah. they're not nourishing to your diet.
No,
you
just enjoy them. Just watched, you know, I came home from Thanksgiving. I watched like 3 Coen Brothers movies. And
of course you did.
I watched Train Dreams on Netflix,
okay,
which is
gotta see that.
It's my favorite movie of the year, but it's heavy and it's sad and it's artsy. And then to prepare for an episode with Ronnie Kurtz to discuss a movie called A Hidden Life. That's right, The Other Ronnie. I had to watch A Hidden Life, which is like 3 hours of heaviness and artsiness. And so like, yeah, there's times where I just, hey, it's 80 minutes long. It's just 2 people in a village drinking hot chocolate for 80 minutes.
Trying to figure out life.
It's a very low grade, low stakes conflict, you know, that happens. And then they kiss at the end. And what I've discovered is the movie always ends with the kiss. There's no denouement. Like when they realize they're in love and they kiss, the credits roll. There's not, hey, this is what happened the next day. Here's what happened. But we just watched one called Meet Me Under the Mistletoe.
Yep.
And it was terrible. They had zero charisma, the man and the woman.
Yes.
The leads had zero charisma.
Which is typical.
And, well, usually what I'm looking for is a guy who's kind of funny. He needs to be genuinely funny. And a girl who's kind of cute. I don't mean pretty. Because they always have pretty girls in the leads. I just mean someone who looks like they could live next door, like the cute girl next door. And they need to have some charisma, some kind of personality
to get
me through 80 minutes of this lame thin.
If it can be, they need to have like they literally just need to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And take things so seriously, including themselves.
Yes.
And then you go, okay. This is just like watching a half-hour comedy. This is just like drinking hot chocolate. This is just like eating Christmas candy. It's okay.
It's like hot chocolate because it's the same formula. It's a paint-by-numbers.
Yeah.
She's a high-powered fill-in-the-blank in the big city. She's got to go home for Christmas time for fill-in-the-blank to help mom with the bakery, to help dad with the old folks home, to, you know, do something, write a story.
Something's wrong. Something's falling apart.
And she's got the stuffy boyfriend back home that won't propose. And she dumps him because she falls in love with the lumberjack next door, you know.
Who she probably knew from high school.
She knew him as a kid, right? But he really grew up and. And he's probably a widower with a kid. He's a single dad. Because his first wife died.
Usually a widower with a child, yes.
So,
which endears you more to him because he's just struggling.
Yeah,
he's
just, right.
He's just struggling through
life. Well, I mean, the biggest mystery is why a guy like that would still be single anyway, because he's always handsome, rugged, handy.
Devastatingly
good
handsome.
Good with kids. Yes. Funny. Well, he's not always funny, but yeah.
You think, funniest guy, nicest guy.
This guy's been
brilliant, too.
He's been waiting around for this girl to come home for Christmas is what he's been waiting for. Let's close with this. You've got some product out, right? You got some Christmas music or something album?
Yeah, I had a new record out called Evergreen Melody, and it dropped about 2 weeks ago.
All
right.
So. Evergreen Melody. Check that out from Ronnie. Do you as a performer, you're Ronnie Martin?
Yeah, Ronnie Martin. Okay. It's under my name. Yeah.
All right. Evergreen Melody by Ronnie Martin. We both have Advent books. This episode comes out December 24th, so it's a little late to get going with Advent. But maybe for next year, you can look up our Advent.
Or if you're like me, you miss so many days, you could just jump in and finish it. You
know? Read the whole thing on Christmas Eve. Right. Get that sense of wonder. Brother, it's always fun talking with you. Thank you for coming back on the
Thanks, man. The best.
Christmas episode.
I love it. Thanks for choosing me over the other Ronnie.
Okay. If you enjoy the podcast, dear listener, please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts. Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to or watch your favorite podcasts. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church.